community, etc. So, what we usually teach those who come to the Tree of Life retreat is something which helps them to take care of all the four areas. And if you want to apply this, you should start definitely with the roots. The tree starts with the root. Now you must know, just like the roots of a tree are usually invisible because they grow under the earth, your spiritual roots are something which is really not something which you display in public. I always like to say the real root care, or really taking care of our spiritual roots, must be done in a transcendental relationship, in an invisible relationship. Invisible at least to the public eye or to the eye of others. It's what you do in the morning hours or before going to bed, or when you leave your table during the business hours and you go in a park and just recenter yourself in a spiritual way. What I really want to say is, when we talk of spiritual nourishment or nourishing our spiritual roots, we must be prepared to do this without the public seeing it. There is a great bit, a great benefit in, let us say, congregational worship. The benefit is that we carry each other. Like yesterday evening, I noted when we came towards the end of that beautiful kirtan, then a few of you got up and danced and took more lively to the process. And as I saw you, I thought, let me also get up. And I also got up, and I was in some ways inspired by your devotion and came to a different level in my own kirtan just by the power of association. But that is a great, great benefit. But how? But it could happen that in congregational worship, the individual relationship between you and Krishna is not so much stressed, it's not emphasized. You think more, oh, I'm together with my friends, and I'm dancing and sweating with them. That's enough. No. It is for a good reason that we call spiritual nourishment taking care of the roots, because it is something which happens only between you and Krishna. It's invisible to others' eyes. So, about root caring, we can suggest to you to do really attentive and connected chanting, connected with Krishna, to read every day and reflect about the subject matters. In later, the Bhakti module, we teach a wonderful course on reading sacred literature and reading it in such a way that the content sticks, really. So root care means all these things, or your worship of your personal deity, or your singing before your altar. I very much appreciate this in my life, this chanting or this worshipping in solitude, where no one sees it, where I bow down as long as I want to offer my prayers to Krishna, where I start with offering a little flame to Srila Prabhupada by singing the Guru Puja prayers. I always like to stress that your spiritual program should really touch your heart. If when you come out of your spiritual program, your personalized spiritual program, you don't really feel a change between what you were before and what you are now after doing it, you can know for sure that you most probably did your program absent-minded, without being really there. You were still in your own mental world and you didn't enter the wonderful world of the Spirit or Krishna's world. So, in our little workshop, we did this nourishing our spiritual roots during the morning hours, and we had Gaura Hari giving two japa sessions, one in the morning and one in the afternoon. Please, if something has struck you during this time, if you recognize something which you want to do in your own spiritual root care, please import these new discoveries into your daily practice. The next item, or the next area of the Tree of Life, was the trunk, which consists really of the physical and the emotional dimension. In my little analogy, the physical emotion would be the wood, and the emotional dimension, the bark, which is around it. Let me talk about physical nourishment. I would really like to stress here the importance of exercise or physical movement, physical workouts. I remember that once Srila Prabhupada made his morning walk in Juhu Beach, and he was with a few sannyasis. Who of you has done morning walks on the Juhu Beach in Mumbai? Oh, 10 to 15. You must have marked there were in one area there were the people who did yoga, then other areas there are the martial arts, wallahs. Then you see circles where the followers of Kantaria, Mr. Kantaria, I think is his name, do laughing yoga. You remember to go ha, he, he, ha, 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 ho, ho, ha, ha, ha. And it's very loud and everyone sees. And so it is a long-standing tradition. The Juhu Beach is the physical beach, really. So Prabhupada did his morning walk, and they passed by the yoga section. People did yoga exercise, and someone stood on his head doing the, what's it called, Shirasan. So Gaga Muni laughed about it. He scoffed about it. Gaga Muni Maharaj. Oh, these people, they should better chant than doing physical gymnastics. And Prabhupada turned around and said, better you also do some exercises and not only eat and sleep. Prabhupada could be very direct. You grow a big belly, but if you would do exercises, you would be more healthy for your chanting. My dear devotees, I have seen this in my life. I was also, and at times am, unfortunately, also the unmoving Swami. Means I just sit, write, or prepare something, then I sit in a car, then I sit before audiences, then I'm carried back in the car, and I'm in a sitting mode. But I have seen, especially now where I have reached the scandalous age of 60, that this must be changed. My own spiritual master did every day something like a minimum of 1 hour morning walk for that reason. Please don't be penny wise, pound foolish. That is, you say, I save time, I don't do exercises, but I do my work. If you don't move about, if you don't have healthy physical movement, the body was created for this. You have legs, right? Were the legs for sitting or for walking? What is your idea about this? You have hands, are they meant to grab something and move something? You have arms, and have you noted there are muscles on the arms? That means they are for some movement. It was constructed like this. You have a heart, which means to push blood through the thing. If you use a violin to bang a nail in the wall, you will destroy the violin. So in the same way, if you use a body which is meant to carry you around in this life, to just sit, you will damage your body. It's so simple. It is so obvious. So please do this and you will find out, you will digest better. That means you need less sleep and you will be more healthy in your life. You will find out you will be more relaxed in your mind if you move a little bit about and so on. Don't exaggerate it. Remember the graphicon, which we will show you again. When you exaggerate anything, you move to rajas and then to tamas. You should not be like these people who just try to cultivate mountains of muscles, which is another unhealthy thing, because the body was not made like this, and so on. But please do something and you will see your chanting is good. We tried to do this by introducing some movements, and we already got a feedback that someone had arthritis, others couldn't, had back pain, and since they do this only for three times, the pain has disappeared. We got this feedback from this group. Here in Australia you have wonderful beaches and nature, my God, that rain forest and so on. Please consider going there, walking there. You can take a bee-back along and do a japa walk, or just walk and after some time sit a little bit and chant and then walk again and so on, or swim or do something. It's a very minimal 10 minutes a day when you're young, or 15 to 20 when you're old is sufficient, and you will live for 20 more healthy years. It pays back really towards the end of life when you are a little bit elderly like this. So that is for the physical dimension. Another is conscious diet. I have closely watched you and your reaction to the simple diet of Khichdi, which according to Ayurveda is really very good in the morning, since everything you need at that time is inside. And I have smiled and laughed, and you were really so heart moving to see you struggling with this, and how with this conscious diet some of you had terrible headaches the first day, which is a good sign, because the toxins which are stored in the body and which bring disease are now released and are all over your system and so on. And we have received feedback already. You know, devotees come to my team mostly because I'm not so physically aware. I'm trying to teach this, but they have said that we feel so much lighter and so much more energetic. We can sleep better by just following these very simple guidelines. And of course, there is a whole nutritional science out there. As far as we are concerned, it is good for someone who wants to go into the detail, but others who just want to have a functional knowledge, how the body will best serve their reaching their goals, I would just recommend to you, have a very light breakfast, healthy lunch, where it's the main meal. Take that main meal between 12 and 2 o'clock. You have some leeway when the sun, which is taking care also of the fire inside, the fire of digestion, is high. And then in the evening, avoid cream cheese with pakoras, together with cream on top of it, and I'm not so educated any longer, but you have chocolate fantasia with pizza and a liter of olive oil on top. Just have a light dinner. That will be better for you. So a conscious diet. In the beginning, you will a little bit revolt against it because your old habits will try to force you into something which is tongue-related. I always say the tongue only registers enjoyment for a few brief seconds, and the rest is just work, work, work. To digest all of this, to unload everything in the bathroom, and so on. It is Hare Krishna. If you want to have a conscious diet and you want to go a little bit deeper than just quantities and times of the meals, then you can add the knowledge of the six rasas, the six tastes, which will ensure that you will be very satisfied physically and very energized. Another dimension of the physical well-being is to go to bed by 10 o'clock and get up early. I do know that for those of us who are either working or who are just doing congregational lecturing and so on, it's sometimes a tall order. You know, you can't, you had a whole day of work, now you're back, you're hungry, of course you will need to eat something so that you're satisfied, and then you want to also live. You want to talk, you want to meet friends maybe, and you want to read a good book which inspires you, and you wish to do so many things. And then it gets 12 o'clock in the night until you finally notice, yes, the day comes to an end. But the way I switch to this more conscious way of life is that I make a point to wind down my activities by 9 o'clock. Then I read for half an hour and I get a little bit tired. Then if I can't sleep immediately, I just take a shower off the feet. That is enough. You know, put some oil on the soles of the feet, some sesame oil, and some oil on the fontanelle, and then I sleep like a little baby with a happy smile and some midnight ragas. It's called snoring. Good. So we have now the spiritual root program, we have the physical program. Now comes the emotional well-being. This is a large subject in the Vedic way. What we have done is we have introduced to you the three practices which we thought are fundamental. That is, first of all, the emotional traffic light. So much of our emotional well-being is dependent on how we respond to external stimuli. And if you just respond in a reactionary way, that is just the stimuli, and without thinking what and you should do, you just respond according to your own psychological conditioning, you might go into what I call the downward spiral of negative emotions. You know, one thing leads to the other, leads to the other, leads to the others. But if you apply the emotional traffic light and respond sattvically to what happens to you, you actually go on the upward turning spiral of positive emotions. So the emotional traffic light is very helpful for that. Something which helps you to stay just happy and well composed is a balance between activity and relaxation. I think you remember that graph which we had where it was shown how rajas, if you're putting too much effort all the time, it always leads down to tamas, or the other when you are just relaxing, no worries made, then after some time, thump, you could shoot up to rajas and become distressed at the end. So better keep a healthy balance between relaxation in your life and effort, relaxation and effort, relaxation and effort. In your talks, in your intellectual work, and in your physical work. And then we had something about developing sattvic attitudes, like for instance, compassion, and so on. Yesterday, we presented to you a little graph about something which may not have striken your awareness so much. We spoke about compassion on one side. You have to go to look at the right side. And then self-care at the other side. They are usually on opposite sides to each other. Now when you exaggerate on compassion and give, you will come into the area of compassion fatigue, self-denial, and just burnout. These things. If on the other side you exaggerate on self-care, please look at the left side, you will develop selfishness, narcissism, and egoism. So what we recommend is apply sattvic attitudes by, you know, balancing nicely. When you are doing compassionate work, please look at the right side, and you go a little bit too much down in this, too much exaggeration, you need to then take a good dose of self-care, you know, Tree of Life program, or doing something for your body or your mind. When you see that this brings you, because you have not yet found the balance, into the selfish quadrant, then you need to go up, zoop, to compassion again. And in this way, you can navigate your way. Now, this module can also work in a very important foundational, attitude, which is humility. And I want to developing humility. There are, when you don't apply sattva to developing humility, you can also go into exaggerated and go into low self-esteem, minority complex, and all these things. So I will request Bhavanandini to show you what it means to develop a sattvic attitude in terms of humility. We hear this so often in our lectures, you must be humble, humble, humble. And often devotees feel, yes, 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 I'm doing, but you know what happened to me? I'm so insecure now. I feel so bad about myself that I'm afraid to go even outside and do shopping or say something in my university class. So, Bhavanandini, I request you to just quickly bring us through this so that you understand a little bit about how to apply sattva. It is a little bit, you will need to concentrate a little bit to catch it, but it's not so difficult. And it's extremely practical, really. You will see, once you get this, that is sattvic attitudes, you can apply it to every desired quality. Please show us.
So Maharaj says, if you want to see how to be healthy, humble, or sattvically humble, and I'll put this down here as an attitude that we want, we should develop, humility. So to keep balance, like I said yesterday, you on such a diagram, you always put an opposite to what is humility, so to say, but which is positive. So in this case, humility, an opposite would be, maybe some of you have heard it, pride is negative, self-esteem, exactly. Self-esteem.
Yeah, you see these, they are positive, that means they are up. The other things which are not positive, they will be placed down. Like you will recognize where pride belongs.
So if you want to be healthy, humble, you have to think also about the other part, which would be, I have to be also self-conscious, which in our devotee language sounds very bad, but we need to be healthy, self-conscious. So, a humble person, he, Srila Prabhupada said that humility is a vision of reality. And a humble person sees that he is part of Krishna, he sees that you are equal, and when he comes from that position, he will have a natural service attitude to other souls, because he feels, you know, we are the same, and why shouldn't I serve some other living entity, right? And a humble person will definitely not be proud, he will definitely not be arrogant, he will be loving and kind and caring, and he will have all these qualities. So, healthy self-esteem, in the spiritual sense, this is what Maharaj was teaching also, is that you think, first of all, I'm a spiritual soul, I'm part and parcel of Krishna, and because of this, I'm lovable. Because Krishna is supreme, he is, you know, he's complete and completely happy. So I am part of him, and Krishna loves me. So that would be more the, if you're not looking at a psychological self-esteem, but really more the spiritual. So I am part of Krishna, and I have talents which Krishna gave me, which I can invest, I can share with others, I can help others grow, I can serve others with my talents. So if we have this view, then it's healthy self-esteem. But now if we exaggerate, or if we take it wrongly with the humility, and we think humility means to be bad on our own selves, like developing, like, oh, look how bad you are here, look here, you make a mistake, or we compare ourselves with others, and so on. And we go really down on ourselves. So what do you think will happen with us? If you're like, oh, I'm so bad, I'm so foolish, and this and that, if you're just...
I'm depressed.
Depressed. Insecure, Maharaj mentioned.
Lose enthusiasm.
Oh, sorry.
Judgmental.
You may develop minority complex, right? We make comparisons with others and so on. Okay. And so many more things. And if we go down the self-esteem, if you use it in a negative way and impose it down, then it will become proud. Narcissistic, yes. We will feel inferior to others. We will segregate ourselves and feel better than anybody else. Right?
Superiority.
Superior.
Delusions of grandeur.
Delusions of grandeur.
Delusions.
So, yesterday we have told you about if you find yourself in a negative part of any of the positive attitudes, then you go and you try to develop humility. Or if you find yourself in a very insecure and lose enthusiasm, minority complex, this implies that you need to develop some healthy self-esteem. But now I want to show you just second thing to this, which yesterday, because it was the first time that we have shown this, we didn't show because it would be maybe too much of an information. But what would most people do if they are tamasic or rajasic? They go from here to here. You can recognize it maybe. That a very insecure person will become very arrogant or proud. If you do it in an unhealthy way, unconscious way. So we also see many times people who are very much on the outside, like, I'm the poor, I'm the best, I'm this and that, you know. So many times those people are very insecure inside. You know, this it implies. If you are too much in this, this is called the negative correlation between these two. And this here, if you have healthy humility and healthy self-esteem, these two will naturally correlate with each other. You will be naturally, positively, you know, those two qualities will be there, you will be balanced. So, positive and negative relationship. So this is just a diagram to show you that if you want to develop humility, if you want to become more humble, then try in your life to see also this part of where you can build up on your self-esteem so that it's a healthy humility, that it doesn't turn into something like, okay, I want to be humble, and then I will just, you know, I'm such a bad person, and then I will just knock on my head, and I will make myself down, and then I become very insecure, and then I can become depressed, and then, oh, I will feel so hopeless. And then, oh, what's with the self-esteem? Yeah, I'm also a good person. And then we go into this. You know, so it's very important to become balanced. And when you want to develop any sattvic attitude, you need to balance it with the opposite of what it is. Maybe it sounds a little complicated. I'm sorry. Or is it clear? It's good.
The idea is balance here, really.
And you can use this diagram for any attitude, any emotion, anything which you have in your life you want to change. Anything. That's why I wanted to show you that also goes with humility, but it can go with being generous and being economical, you know, like how much you give and so on. So that you don't waste too much and that you, you know, are not too miserly and so on. So you can put anything in relation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Bhavananandini. Those of you who do not know Bhavananandini, she was managing 200 people and is a very structured person, and therefore I asked her to to do these diagrams because some of you are also very structured and can understand this language very nice. I find this very, very useful, because what I have seen is devotees who have heard about humility, and then although this is such a foundational quality, because they exaggerate it and go down towards the negative direction, they come into insecure situations and lose their enthusiasm. Thank you, Aniruddha. This I have seen very often, and therefore they do need really a little positive self-esteem, where they understand I'm a part of Krishna, and so on and so forth. So, and this is something which helps to work. The third area, or you could say even fourth area, because the trunk of the tree of life has two components, the physical and the emotional component. So after we have dealt with the roots and the trunk of our life, we should now do something for the social dimension. And that's very easy. Do something for the benefit of others. That is such a wonderful law of, that is so sattvic, to be giving to others. It is so easy, and it rewards us highly. We suggested as the quality, the ethical quality, the compassionate mood. So now, my dear devotees, we will become very practical. We say in German, nun sind der Wort genug geschehen, nun wollen wir endlich Taten sehen. That means, enough of these words, we want to now see that you get something practical out of it. We will distribute now papers to all of you. They are your own tree of life. We have three trees, I think. So some of you will get tree A, an oak tree, others will get a banyan tree, and so on. Please, everyone, take one paper, doesn't matter which tree, as long as it is a tree. I would also appreciate to have one tree. It's a beautiful exercise which we will do now. Would someone of the... Yes, thank you. Just one. Action. Beautiful, beautiful. My God, we have such talents in our team. Please raise your hands if you still need your own personal tree of life.
Du, haben wir zufällig extra Kugelschreiber oder sowas?
Nein.
Hat bestimmt jeder.
So, what you have gotten is an empty sheet of paper, except for the heading, my personal tree of life, and a beautiful tree like this. Your tree maybe looks a little different, but the idea is there. I now request you to take some time. It is a reflective exercise, and write just next or around these areas what you personally intend to do to take care of your own tree of life. Just imagine that this tree is a symbolic representation of your body, your physical life, your emotional life, your social life, and your spiritual life. How would you like, after having been here in this Tree of Life retreat, how would you like to nourish these areas? For instance, if you start with the roots, you could start anywhere, but let us say you decide to start with the roots. You could say, well, I am going to make an effort to chant the rounds which I chant in a very attentive way, using some of the techniques of Gaurahari. And then you must fill in what techniques. It must be very specific, and you will be able to take this home with you, and you can pin it on your door or where your refrigerator is, because maybe that's your most frequented area around this and so on. I'm joking. I'm really sure. Maybe it was a bad joke. I'm sorry. You know, I sometimes say things which are impossible. I take that back. See, I'm from North Germany, where you speak such things, and it's a good joke, but here it may not be. So, let us say you feel my trunk, the trunk of the tree of the body, is, well, I will try to get from Bhanu Nandini these mindful exercises, or I will just go and visit a yoga class and tell to the yoga person, I have this need and that need, can you just give me some exercises, simple, just 10 minutes a day and so on. Or I will go once a day, week to the beach and walk barefoot on the borderline between water and mainland and so on. Be creative, but don't write something which you are not ready and willing to follow up. It must be something which you do. And we will talk a little bit more about this, the dynamics of realistic change, how you can put what you write down here into practical action in your daily life. This will be a very... I'm really looking forward to this. So, is your task cleared to you? Or do you have a question? No. So, please then, it is a reflective exercise. You will do it alone. And afterwards, I will invite you for an exciting session with a buddy. And I will explain this separately. Now, kindly start filling in the tree of your life. Remember, it's your personal tree. It's your life. Before we take our fruit break, I would now like you to go and find your buddy, your partner, and sit down with them for 5 minutes or so and share your own tree of life. You can do this with your sheet of paper and talk about this tree of life, and you might get some informations. With your inspired and enthusiastic way. So the idea is that you present your tree of life, what you intend to do after this retreat, to your buddy and or a partner, maybe is a better word, and vice versa. Your partner also shares what they intend to do. That's the first stage. You just present your tree of life. Listen here, I will do this. I will do the five Tibetans daily in the morning for my physical upkeep. It only takes 7 minutes. I can do that. Or I will do this. Then you hear from the partner what they want to do, and then you discuss it. You can even challenge your partner. You can say, really? Really? Wow. And this way you engage a little bit. You bring up, you go a deeper level a little bit. Please do not start now. Just without mixing it with grains or anything else. It's outside, it's ready. Please, sorry? It's in the foyer. It's with Riddhi, where the door opens. Please rush all at once and get your fruit prasad.